We'll be led in opening prayer by our brother Walter Jurek.
Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, once again we come before our throne of grace to, by thy own appointed way, to thank thee for the many blessings that we have received from thy hand. We thank thee for this day and for the many blessings from thy word. And we do pray now, Father, that thy spirit may be with each and every one of us here, and especially with those to guide and direct their thoughts for this hour, that we may be refreshed and rebuilt, looking unto thee for all the blessings. We do pray that thou would also be with thy children wherever they may be, especially those undergoing trials and experiences, that thy word may be a comfort and a strength to them. For we do leave all these in thy hand, for we ask it through Jesus' name. Amen.
It's our privilege this afternoon to hear a couple of our deacon brethren, and that is of Brother Walter Doctor and Brother John Gadelis. And they have chosen as their subjects watch and pray. And now to conclude the portion of the symposium on prayer, we would ask our brother John to come forward. And he would speak to us on the other part of watching and also of praying.
I wish to thank Brother Walter for his coverage on the first half of this text. And we would like to try making 5 points in the time that is allotted for us. The first point would be the definition of the text. The second would be an example of prayer. The third would be what we should pray for. The third point would be why we should pray. The fourth would be what we should pray for. And the fifth, if time permits, what we should not pray for. The main text that we were using for most of our discussions would end up being that of Luke 21:36. The translations that we are using would be the King James and also the New American Standard. For looking up a lot of the text, I am used to the King's English, but I still like the translation of the New American Standard. So sometimes the words will not always be the same as what I have been quoting. The text for Luke 21:36 states, "Watch ye, therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things which shall come to pass, to stand before the Son of Man." The word pray here ends up being Strong's word 1189. The other text, which is Mark 14:38, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak." The word praying here is Strong's 43:36. We also realized the other text that Brother Walter mentioned in Matthew is the same thing as this one that was in Mark in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then the other text that we have is 1 Peter 4 and 7. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." This word is Strong's 43:35. Going for definitions, we were kind of surprised that word 1189 comes from the Greek word dihomia, which comes also from 1210, which means to beg, as binding oneself, that is, petition. It is translated as beseech, pray, to pray, or make a request. And it's compared with word 4441. Now, 4441, there's a lot of information that's going on with what they call it. It comes from the Greek word potaomia, middle prolongation from a primitive poto, which occurs only as an alternate in certain tenses, to question, that is, ascertain by inquiry. as a matter of information merely, thus differing from 2065, which probably means a request as a favor, and from 154, which is strictly a demand of something due, as well as from 2212, which implies a search for something hidden, and from 1189, which is the word that it's translated there, which invokes the idea of urgent need. By implication, by casual intelligence, translated ask, demand, and inquire. The other two texts, Mark 14:38, and comes from the Greek word 43:36, prosio komai, from 43:14 and 21:72, to pray to God, that is supplicate, worship, translated, pray, earnestly praying for, and make prayer. 43:45, po yoke, from 43:36, prayer, worship, by implication, and oratory, chapel. Translated as pray earnestly, praying, and prayer. We realize a difference in these four texts that we have. Two of the texts deal with the end of the age, and two of the texts were in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, having these texts and having what Brother Walter mentioned with the experiences of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, we are going to try to not get into as great detail in those particular aspects. We're going to be dealing more with what is happening at the end of the age, the time that we are living in. One of the questions that we should ask would be, what is prayer? We have a definition of what our Lord said that prayer would be, which would be found in Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 7th through the 8th verses. And here we have our Lord's encouragement for prayer, where it says, ask, that it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. We see that prayer ends up being an asking. Actually, what we could say is that prayer is a being's sincere desire of communication with God. Prayer ends up being our channel into the heavenly courts, where we are able to come to our Heavenly Father at any time, where our Heavenly Father is never too busy or too tired to hear us. Through our prayers, we are able to thank Him for His bountiful blessings, for His providences, expressing unto Him our fears, our trials, our besetments, and asking for His continued guidance and overrulings in our lives' affairs and increasing our understanding of His Spirit. We also realize that there isn't anything that is too trivial for our Heavenly Father. We have many examples of prayer in the Scriptures. We have Ezekiel's prayer for the deliverance, Hezekiah's prayer for the deliverance of Jerusalem, which occurred. We have our Lord's prayer in John 17, just before the Garden of Gethsemane, where He prays for His followers, and for His followers, which I believe is the greatest prayer. But the prayer that we would like to consider is that which is given in Luke 11, 2 through 4, and also Matthew 6, 9 through 13, which is what the apostles asked our Lord as to how they should pray. The apostles, being of the Jewish faith, were not impious people, were not impious men. They were praying, but yet they noticed something in the form of communication that our Lord had with our Heavenly Father that was different than what they were able to enjoy. And in this simple prayer, it's no more than 30 words, maybe 40 words max, we have some interesting comments. Our Lord says, we start the prayer by our Father who art in heaven. Now it's not my Father which art in heaven, but our Father. These words are not possessive as the words of my Father. God is over all, not just me, but over all. This is the grand creator, the great creator of the universe, creating not just man, but everything. This is the great monarch that we're able to approach at any time, and we're able to stay in his hallowed courts as long and as often as we want. We have something of the majesty of what is with God given to us by the psalmist in Psalm 8, verses 1 through 9. O Lord our God, how majestic is thy name in all the earth, who hast displayed thy splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes thou hast established strength, because of thine adversaries to make the enemy and revengeful cease. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou take thought of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him? Yet thou hast made him a little lower than God. Thou dost crown him with glory and majesty. Thou dost make him to rule over thy works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all the sheep, the oxen, and also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. We also end up having the point that from our Heavenly Father, that as in Luke, the 12th chapter, 6 through 7th, and also Matthew 10, 29 through 31, where we find out that are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Therefore, do not fear, ye are of more value than many sparrows. This shows that God has a deep care for us. We also have the text in Luke, the 11th chapter, the 5th through the 13th verses, which shows the willingness of God to be giving unto us gifts. And he said unto them, suppose one of ye shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me, the door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For every one who asks and receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers, is asked by his son for a fish, will he not give him a snake instead of a fish? Will he? Or if he asks for an egg, will he not give him a scorpion? Will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? The next phrase that ends up being inside the model prayer is, "Hallowed be thy name." God's name is hallowed, and with entrance into any of the courts of any great monarch, there are certain protocol is required. One does not make a habit of rushing into the heavenly courts without having some idea of what we would want to communicate with our Heavenly Father about. Although I realize that at times we are in some dire straits and the only thing we can ask is help, or sometimes we can't even make an intercession and the Spirit will groan within. But our Heavenly Father would appreciate having us grow in a method that we are able to consider what we are asking and why we are asking it. We also, the next phrase is that thy kingdom come, and it is God's kingdom of peace and righteousness, which all of mankind has been anxiously awaiting for the last 6,000 years for its establishment. Here we ask and we request that God's kingdom shall be established. And this prayer has been going on for the last 1,900 years, and even though it seems to tarry, it will occur. Then we have, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We see here that God's will shall be done. It will finally end the discord that is present on the earth as it is contrasted to how it is in heaven. At the full establishment of his kingdom, his will shall be done on the earth as it is done in heaven. And we realize that at this time it has not yet occurred, but it shall. The next phrase is, give us this day our daily bread. Here we ask for our daily sustenance. But asking for our daily sustenance, it doesn't mean that we just fold our hands and lay back and say that, okay, Father, we have asked you for daily sustenance, and now I can miraculously expect something to be, you know, the oil inside the jar of Crisco not to stop running out, or the meal that I have inside this sack of flour not to empty. That's not what the Lord is telling us. We have to make reasonable efforts to provide things that are good and honest in the sight of all men. But we also realize that we don't have to take a lot of anxious thoughts as to what we shall be doing, because our Lord tells us in Luke, the 12th chapter, 22nd through the 31st verses, which we will read rather quickly. For this reason, I say unto you, do not be anxious for your life as to what ye shall eat, nor for your body as to what ye shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, and yet they have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are ye than the birds? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single cubit to his life span? And if you cannot even do a very little thing, why are you anxious about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow, neither they toil nor spin. But I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass in the field which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe ye, O men of little faith? And do not seek what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, and do not keep worrying. For these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that ye have need of these things. But seek ye his kingdom, that these things shall be added to you. We also have the admonition from the Apostle Paul in Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 11th through the 13th verses, where he states that he can do, let's see. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And the last phrase that comes out ends up being, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Now, with this, we're telling God that we should be judged as we judge others. This is a very serious demand to be making upon God, or a statement to be making, because we have to be extremely careful as to how we judge. We end up having texts in Luke, the 6th chapter, and the 37th verse, where it says, do not judge, and you will not be judged, and do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Or you end up having the other text in Matthew, the 7th chapter, in the 1st verse, which is, do not judge, lest ye be judged. For in the way ye judge, ye shall be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured unto you. Now, after going through this example, we come up to why we should pray. Realizing that the text that we're reading in Luke, the 21st chapter, we should look into the context as to what is happening and why it ends up being this urgent need. Instead of reading all of the verses that are inside there, we are just going to read the 25th and 26th verse and make some comments on that. We have, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Here, no matter what is being done within the governments, there is always a continual roaring of the sea and there's always a crashing of the waves. Whenever one group is satisfied, another group is disenfranchised. Whenever one group loses some of their rights and privileges, status, money, whatever they lose, they won't be quiet and not say anything about it. They will let you know about it. They're letting the rulers know about it. The rulers have got no solutions. They are staring in perplexity, not understanding as to what is happening. 26th verse ends up being, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. The world here comes from the Greek word 1093, which is gay, which means the soil or solid part of the whole globe, the terra portion of the globe. For the powers of heaven will be shaking. Now, what is coming upon the earth? just to think of some of the things that are happening for the people in the world. We end up having pollution, an energy crisis. Pollution ends up being air, water, soil pollution, disease. We end up having a very rapid spread of AIDS, cancer, heart disease. We have famine in Africa, in China, in India. We have an impending monetary collapse. We have the threat of a world war between the superpowers. We have minor wars in Afghanistan, Nicaragua, South Africa. We have terrorism. Basic groups that we can think of that we read in any newspaper ends up being the PLO, the IRA, probably a host of others. We end up having corruption in government that is being brought not just in our government, but in all governments. We have it in Canada, we have it in Russia, we have it everywhere. We have corruption in the judicial system, the system that mankind has placed a great trust and hope that they would be able to have something. We have, as Brother Joe mentioned today, this morning, we end up having corruption even in the ecclesiastical heavens. The current scandal and with the PTL, with Jim Baker and his wife Tammy, and also we end up having the same thing with greed as shown by Mr. Falwell for trying to take over a multi-million dollar corporation. As to how a charismatic and a fundamentalist is able to take over, it's rather strange, but that is happening. We also have the text in Matthew, the 24th chapter, 21 through 22. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world. The word world here is cosmos, which ends up being the social order, until now or shall ever be. And unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be cut short. We can see that on this portion of just, the next text that I would like to read comes in Joel, the second chapter, in the second chapter 1 through 3, where it ends up being that you have, it's talking about our day, I have a hard time finding Joel. Blow a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. As the dawn is spread over the mountains, so there is a great and mighty people. There has never been anything like, nor will there ever be after it, to the years of many generations. A fire consumes before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like a garden of Eden before them, but a desolate wilderness behind them, and there is nothing that escapes at all that escapes them. Here we can see as to what is happening with mankind. We can see that all around everything is falling apart, and the only thing that is in front of them ends up being the kingdom of God. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, not only do we have to contend with fighting the world, but we also have to fight our own flesh. We end up having a warfare with our new mind and with our natural bodies. This warfare is told to us in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raiseth up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, in the 19th through the 21st verses, we end up having what the fruits of the flesh are, as in contrast with Galatians, the 5th, the same chapter, in the 22nd through the 23rd verses, as to what the fruits of the Spirit are. We also have 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, 1 through 7 and 8 through 11, showing us as to the times that we are living in. Brethren, we are living in a very grand and awful times. We are living in with the fulfillment of prophecy, and one of the problems of this time is the fulfillment of the increase of knowledge. Now, knowledge, you would say, would not end up being that bad, but we have so much information that is bombarding us from all sources, from the radio, from the television, from newspapers, magazines, technical publications. They even end up having publications that categorize where you can end up getting more information. You have online storage of computer files that take large rooms of, you know, just lots and lots of information. And everyone is, there's a constant strife of trying to get into our minds. Now, here we can appreciate what our Lord said in Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 5th through the 8th verses. And what he says ends up being, "And when ye pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But to you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you shut your door, pray to your heavenly Father who is in secret, and to your Father, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you." Brethren, what a wonderful admonition did our Lord give unto us. Here we are able to go away in our little closet, close the door on everything that is going around us, away from the hustle and the bustle of the world. We are able to enter into the hallowed courts of our Heavenly Father and have communion sweet. Now, the other thing which I guess we can probably finish with ends up being that after having to watch also not only of our bodies, but we also have to contend with the devil. Here we have the admonition from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, 11 through 18, 11, 12, and 18, where it's to put on the whole armor of God. But the 18th verse ends up praying, having a petition for all of the saints, all of the fellow footstep followers of our Lord. We end up also having what the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8, that your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Brethren, we have just covered three of the things that are happening with us, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and there are a lot of aspects for what we should be praying for. We should pray for the fruits of the Spirit. We should pray for the Holy Spirit. We should not put We should pray for our brethren and in their trials and in their times of need. We should pray for the harvest work, for our enemies, as it was given in Luke 6:23 and Matthew 5:44. With all of these things that are happening on this, on the earth, we should end up watching. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things which shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. May the Lord add his blessing to the things that were said.
Thank you, Brother John. Thoughts and the admonitions that have been presented have been very helpful, and I'm sure that they will help us if we put them into application in our daily lives. That is of watchfulness and also of prayer. And we'll be led in closing prayer by our brother John.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy most holy name. We enter into thy hallowed courts at this time, thanking thee for this day that thou hast given us, for the opportunity that we had of setting aside the world and its cares, to be able to be having thy word expounded unto us. Father, bless all the thoughts that we heard today that were presented, and anything that was said amiss that we would forget. Father, we ask that thou wilt be with all thy children the world over, those who are isolated, those who are in beds of sickness, those who are going through severe trials and difficulties. Be with them, Father. Strengthen them in their faith and their character. Father, we are ever mindful of thy bountiful blessings that thou hast given unto us and that thou continuest to shower on us. We ask that we would be able to be faithful, that we would be good ambassadors of thy Son. All these things we ask and thank thee. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.